NPI is the company that syndicates this broadcast. What does that mean? Network Providers, Inc. NetworkProvidersInc.com is the main website for the show, or for the company, I should say. The show, NPITechGuys.com. And we always break down tech, hopefully in a meaningful, educational way. You know, there's a lot of tech shows. They're how-to shows, or they answer tech questions of how to fix your computer. Or they, you know, we don't do all that. Not because we can't, but because we choose to focus on tech from a kind of an entertainment perspective, what's going on in the tech world, kind of a keep an eye on tech so you don't have to, letting you know of things happening in tech. Oftentimes we deal with very unique tech topics, etc. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a unique show, quite different than others. We focus on security. We focus on best practice. We focus on team solutions. We focus on real IT people in the mix. And all that because we believe those are the keys to success. Jay Harrison's with me. Welcome, sir.
Howdy, Sam. How's it going in technology today with Mr. Bushman?
Oh, it's going fantastic.
For me, it's a little crazy.
Except for I got an article that I find a little bit interesting, kind of scary in a way. Headline says this, a weak password is still the number one way hackers break into your network.
Humans are the weakest link, aren't they?
Password. Yeah, well, they can be. Humans can be a very weak link as well, and it's kind of a convergence between humanoids and computers in this regard, because the person sets the weak password. Really, the computer's not the problem in that case. The person is. But they say, in fact, 81%, Jay, this is a huge number in my opinion, 81% of the total number of breaches last year utilized weak or stolen passwords.
And reused passwords, huge. I would say. That's the biggest problem I see. I don't even see so much weak passwords, but I see people that have the same five passwords that they use for everything. I mean, they'll have literally sometimes 50 different credentials, and they have five passwords that they're using it for. And password reuse, I think, is almost the worst. But I see weak ones, too.
Password reuse, weak passwords. Either way, the same thing's true. You got to have unique passwords for everything. And you've got to have strong passwords, not weak ones. And they say that a weak password is the number one way. Now, they also then talk about in this article that Network Providers, Inc. emails to those who sign up for the email list. So if you want to get on our email list, networkprovidersinc.com, you can do that. And you can get tidbits and educational security alerts and all kinds of cool things. We don't bombard your inbox, but we do provide valuable real-time tech information, news, etc. In this article, it talks about this weak password problem and how it's a huge problem. But they go on and say, hey, here's what a good password should contain. And I wanted to go over that, Jay, and then you might have something to add to this. A minimum of 8 characters, they say. Now, I appreciate that. I would probably go further, though, and say, you know what? You need really more like a minimum of 12 characters. Every character that you add increases the complexity of the password multiple fold or significantly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a minimum of 30 or more is even better. There should be no limit on a password security if it's done well, because they're just going to hash it anyway. But, you know, and I wouldn't recommend always using the maximum. Like, say if the maximum is 64, I wouldn't go with 64. I'd go with some number, you know, maybe 55 or somewhere between that, so that they're not automatically trying to brute force the full space. But I would always go with more is better in that sense, especially, again, when you're saying don't use reuse passwords, don't memorize passwords. If you've got a password manager, who cares? There's no difference to you whether you're using a 12-character password or a 48-character password. It doesn't matter.
Or whether that password's super randomly generated or if there's a pattern to it, the less pattern to it, the better.
That's right.
Anyway, I bring that up because they say a minimum of 8 characters. Now, I agree that, you know, the longer the better to some degree. A lot of the passwords default at a certain number. My password manager, for example, Keeper Security, which I use, it defaults by default to 20 characters. Now, you can increase that, but that's the default. 20 is pretty dang good if it's really random.
I like that.
So anyway, that's right. So minimum of 8 characters, they say. I say more than that's great. Uppercase and lowercase letters. This is a big one because even if you get a password right, if you don't have the right case on everything, it's wrong. Because to you and me, uppercase and lowercase, well, it's still an A. But to the computer, they're completely different characters, Jay.
Yeah, and just by including that subset of uppercase or lowercase, you double the space, the randomness, and the entropy in your password.
Yeah, in other words, 26 becomes 54 in terms of characters. if they're upper and lowercase letters. So that, again, all these factors matter. Then they say at least one number and one symboled number. Okay, so that's really important. You got to have a number and a symbol. In other words, an at sign, a dollar sign, a percent sign, a caret, a percent, whatever.
Yeah, dash.
An exclamation point or dash, you know, all these different things. Add those characters because that exponentially increases the password's complexity.
Most of the safe symbols are the ones that are on the shift keys for your numbers. So shift one through shift zero, which is the exclamation, the at, the pound sign, the dollar sign, the percent sign, the caret, the ampersand, the star, and the two parentheses. Those are the ones
now
that are generally.
Explain what you mean by safe, because I want people to understand. It's not that they're unsafe from a password point of view. They just might not be accepted characters if you get into extended character sets.
Yeah, that's right. Like, right? Say you try to use a tilde or you try to use an engrave mark or something like that. It may not be part of the password dictionary, so to speak, or where you can pull upon. And if you have poorly written code, it could even crash things. I mean, for example, I've seen sites where you can set your password to that, but you can't input the password to that because it won't check for those. And so you can basically lock yourself immediately out of your password, even though you set it properly.
Yeah, so be really careful. Locking yourself out is a key component. Now, you don't want to use slashes, backslashes.
Right.
You don't really want to use periods. Those kind of things, less than, greater than signs, you don't want to use those things. I'm not saying no password managers will handle them. I'm just telling you that they relate to so many other things that they can cause all kinds of problems.
Yeah, you probably don't want to use SQL codes either, you know, like drop tables or anything like that in your password, just to be safe in case they're not sanitizing their inputs, you know.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, you don't want to drop any tables, I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, one symbol number and a number. They call it a symbol number because, as Jay said, they're shift number keys. That's why they call them a symbol number, because it's a number, and then you press shift, and it turns into a symbol, right?
That's right.
No complete words is one of the other kind of things. They say, you know what, sometimes it'll meet requirements, but it can be hacked a lot easier, they claim. And I agree, kind of, Jay.
I somewhat disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Let's say it has to be a password that you need to remember. For example, your master password, you know, if you have a thing or something like that, or some password that you're just like, hey, if this is so secure, I don't want it in a password database for some reason. Just look at, when you do words, though, look at them as the same as a symbol. So if it's an 8-character password, like they're saying, hey, minimum of 8 characters, you might need a minimum of 8 words. And yeah, that might be 25 characters, but words, dictionary words, unless you're mixing them up somehow or spelling them very uniquely, they're not as secure as a random set of things. But as far as memorizing them, so you memorize the phrase. I mean, we've all probably seen the correct horse battery staple, the XYCK or whatever comic, that says this password has better entropy than a shorter random password. And they're right about that. They make some good points. But so I think you can use words. You just need to use a longer phrase if you're going to use words. But, you know, the classic monkey 1, 2, 3, that doesn't cut it, man. That's like the number 5 in the first guesses that some kind of brute force is going to take.
It also depends on the word, too. The complexity of a word matters. So I'll just give an example. Let's say you take the word idiosyncrasy.
Right.
And then you, above the I, replace, say, a number. Like 8 is right above the I, for instance. If you put idiosyncrasy, but 8, idiosyncrasy, I'm not so sure that it makes it easier, because now it's not really a whole word. And so the point that they're getting at is don't use whole words. If anything you can do to modify a word increases the complexity as well.
That's right. And changing the case, you know, maybe you capitalize the syllables or something like that. That can help a little bit too with some complexity, but still be easy to remember. But again, I say don't make any of your passwords rememberable. Just put them in a password keeper, Bitwarden keeper,
yeah.
Whatever.
And now, the master password's the hardest one, the master password to the password manager, because that's the one that, hey, it doesn't keep track of itself. Even if it does, it's internal and you can't get to it until you get in, right?
Yeah, and you don't want to write that down anywhere, really. I mean, you want that one. That needs to be the one password that's unique, never reused, and only in your head.
Very complex to get that done. But that is the key to the exercise. They then finish and say, hey, never use a password for multiple accounts. We've already kind of been through that, and we agree with that. You know, they say that using a password authenticator like Google's whatever and, you know, what do they call those things?
Google Authenticator. Yeah.
Well, they're, Google Authenticator, yeah.
They give the six-digit code, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they say that's more secure than, say, just sending a code to your phone. I agree and disagree. What I mean by that is I agree that it's more secure in a factual point of view. The reason I say it's a little maybe less secure is because if you're not careful, now you got to keep track of that authenticator. And if you somehow lose access to that for any reason, now you got kind of a double problem.
That is very true.
And so I'm saying that I agree that it's good, but you got to be really careful. I like the multi-factor authentication idea rather than two-factor. And what I mean by multiple is there's different ways that you can have backup ways to get into accounts and different things. And I really like that recovery because I'm telling you, I've been through some unique things with Apple and Microsoft and other big players. And man, if you don't have your act together, they can't even hardly help you get into the account, Jay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look at Apple. We've had gone round and round with Apple before. I literally had somebody who had to wait 2 weeks and then be available at a certain time of the day 2 weeks later to take a call from Apple in order to reset their account. It was so ridiculous. But, you know, they're prioritizing security, and you can't hardly blame them for it. But, oh, my gosh, the hoops you got to go through sometimes.
Yeah, I think the pendulum is in some ways swinging too hard to the other side. There's got to be a middle ground. But not only do you have to do that, oftentimes you have to submit all kinds of corporate documentations, like what is your DUNS number and
that's
what's
right.
Your EIN number to your company. And, you know, for example, I was the main guy on an Apple account. I mean, I was the IT guy. I was the main guy. I was the guy that set it up and everything. And they're like, we can't even let you change this, Sam, unless we talk to other people in your company. Can you give us the owner of your company, or can you give us somebody, a leader in the HR department or the accounting department? And I'm going, are you kidding me right now? So they're asking my accounting department if the IT guy can get in. It's like, they're like, yes, he can. But this is what I mean. It's very, very difficult. So you got to be really careful and look at multi-factor authentication rather than just dual factor or two factor. And because a lot of times that can save your bacon, people.
There's also companies, I think Gusto does this. If you lose your account access, you will, you'll need to upload a copy of your driver's license and then get on a web chat, like a live camera web chat with them to prove your identity to who you are to get back in.
And I get that. I mean, I understand the need for it, but I also understand if you're not careful, it kind of goes too far. Because again, these companies having all this information on you, as we talked about in the previous episodes.
Yeah, AT&T.
They're going to leak it, buddy. They're going to, you know, gather all that on you, and then they're going to leak it for sure. At least history shows. It's not a matter of if, it's when and who and how kind of thing.
And they never purge that data.
All that, right?
That's the part of the problem is they keep it all, and they just figure, hey, the more the better, and, you know, we're going to take care of it. Sure we will. And I'm sure they make their best effort tries, but inevitably when you have a big company like that and you have so many hands on it and so much access to it, it tends to get out.
All right, if you have questions about cybersecurity and you want guidance for your business, you can get a hold of networkprovidersinc.com. And hey, would love to book a 10-minute call and kind of help you with it. Networkprovidersinc.com. Check that out. Jay, they say computers are going to get smarter than people, and AI is going to, you know, create this, I don't know, supercomputer humanoid thing.
Are we looking for the singularity?
Some even say computers are going to completely control us. I don't believe any of it, Jay.
You don't believe in the singularity, Sam, like Elon Musk does?
No, it's a lie. And the reason it's a lie is it's based on false premise. The creation cannot be greater than the creator, Jay.
Right.
The creation, let me just explain that. The creation cannot be bigger or better than the creator. And the reason I say that is because, look, even if we program computers to get smart, even if they have their own ability to self-learn to some degree, remember it's artificial intelligence. Okay, it's not real intelligence ordained by God. And I don't mean to be religion into this, except for you got to understand, no matter how smart it is, what if I pull its plug?
Right.
No matter how smart it is, what if I force it to overheat or freeze? Or, in other words, can it combat all that?
If it's smart enough, it can stop you before you even thought about doing that, though.
Maybe. That's the theory. But I don't believe that computers can control thoughts. Anyway, the whole point of this is, and let's just put it kind of on the spectrum, all these new electric cars or EVs, now all the companies are backing off and saying nobody wants them and they don't work. in the cold, in the heat, in the this and the that, in the fires. And there's a lot of stumbling blocks for this. And all these companies, even Tesla, was going to make a cheap family car. They've now backed off that. Well, the reason that I'm telling you this is because there's one thing to talk about how smart computers are, and they can do things reliably really well. But what they cannot do, Jay, is handle all the real world conditions. So in a lab or, you know, a lot of times it's great. In the real world, things break down fast. So Amazon had this incredible idea, and they said, hey, we're going to have these stores. All you got to do is walk in, grab whatever you want, and bail. You're good.
Yeah, we all saw videos.
Incredible.
On that.
Next gen store. Well, now the headline reads this. What is this? 3 or 4 years after that was all announced?
Yep.
So they've tested it in the real world, and here's the bottom line. So much for Amazon's just walk out grocery checkout company.
No.
Yeah, they pulled the plug. They can't do it.
I was looking forward to that, man.
They pulled the plug on it. Newser is where I got this article. They say it was a futuristic concept. Amen to that. That, as it turns out, was, Jay, too good to be true. Yeah.
I thought, you know, you always had that fear because the number of cameras, they had to have thousands of cameras inside a single store to track everything. And,
that's right.
And it made mistakes and things like that. But they, you know, it was good promotion. They had some pretty good commercials and stuff. And it was a great concept.
A lot of bang out of it, but it's bogus.
Yeah, but that's too bad, man, because I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
They say
I was always skeptical.
Reported, yeah, as they say, as first reported by the information paywall, Amazon is scrapping the whole concept at its larger stores in favor of what they call smart shopping now, Jay. So to me, if they had to back off this, it's kind of dumb shopping. But I guess compared to average shopping, it's smart. So it's relative, right?
So let me guess. They want
call
you
them
to
smart
scan
shopping
stuff.
Carts, right? So you can fill your cart, and I guess then it'll help customers scan items, and then they can check out as they shop. But now you're literally scanning items, putting them in your cart. So you're basically doing the work of the cash register. In other words, you have a cash register where you can go in and there's a human. Then you have a cash register that's like automatic checkout or manual checkout or whatever you want to call it, where a computer does it and you just scan things.
Right.
This says we're going to scan it when you put it in the cart as opposed to grab all that you want and then go up to the scanner and do it yourself idea. So it's great. It's just a new twist on it, but it's not that innovative really in modern times, right?
Walmart has the same kind of thing with their insider club. You can scan it as you're going through the store and then
and so does Sam's Club.
Checkout. Yeah.
Okay, but that again, now they're backing way off, though, to where now they're not really embracing anything that new or smart or unique, really. I mean, it is compared to 10 years ago or whatever, but it's not like unique in and of itself.
But, you know.
Now they say self-checkout counters will also be added for non-Amazon customers, they say one big problem. Listen to this carefully because this really is kind of what I mean. One big problem with just walk out. While it seems magically automatic, it actually required more than 1,000 people working from India.
Yeah.
Listen carefully to watch shoppers and tally up what they put in their carts.
Now, wait a minute.
So you've literally got these thugs watching every move you make, sir, and manually doing this for you is all that's happening. It was so dang expensive. They couldn't get it done.
Now, I think we're starting to get a little look behind the curtain because they were touting
we
all this as AI was doing all this, not real people
lie.
In India were watching everything.
That's what I'm telling you. It's a lie. It isn't true. And that's what I mean. Half this stuff that they tell you is incredible. It's not really that incredible because if you would have said to me, Sam, you can walk out of the store and get whatever you want. And it's cool. We have these back end guys that watch you like Big Brother and they'll do the rest for you. Well, that's a little different than what I was kind of thinking it was there.
Yeah,
people.
That's to make a demo. It reminds me of the demo we saw recently. And I forget the company, but they were showing a robot folding clothes. And it turns out they caught just on the side of the frame an operator was actually remote controlling this. It wasn't AI at all. It was just showing the capabilities of the robot itself as far
as question.
Mobility.
If humanoids are doing this and we can't do it without those humans, the computer can't be smart enough, or why would they have people do it?
Yeah, that's
that's
a little
telling. The computer's not smart enough, and they don't have the technology to do it, so they had to grab humans. Then they say this, only about half of Amazon Fresh stores even utilized Just Walk Out in the first place. And they say it was expensive to run because you had to have a ton of off-site workers make it happen behind the scenes. And it required a lot of cameras that were super, super, super expensive and get the following. Then they say some people had to wait hours to get a receipt.
Yeah, because they're tallying it all up by hand.
Yeah, but you don't need it. Why can't you just give me a receipt on the fly?
That's a sideshow, man. That's not even a, that's not a real
deal.
It's
clown stuff, folks. But we were told like 4 years ago this was real and it was happening and they cranked it up and it was good. You find out now, 4 years later, that it's a bust and they weren't really doing it as they made you believe they were doing it in the first place?
That's not right, man.
I mean, something is wrong big time. And so this is what I mean. Tesla's like, yeah, we're going to roll out self-driving cars. It's like, your autopilot, whenever it crashes, you're like, the human didn't do what they were supposed to. What? Autopilot? Why do the human have to do something? Well, because they're not really auto-driving cars. They're, what, assisted driving mode or something?
Yeah, just assisted. That's
fine, but you led people to believe that it could drive itself, and so people kind of went to sleep and whatever they were doing on their phone, and then the car crashed, and you blame it on the person? In tech, we need to be very clear, ladies and gentlemen. This is driver-assisted. You know what? It's smart enough if you start to go out of your lane a little bit to beep and put you back in your lane. It's smart enough to kind of see cars in front of it and behind it and kind of stay in the flow of traffic. And it can assist you in great, cool things. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe it can drive itself, you're playing a fool's game.
But, you know, on a side note. And I understand that people have to, they need to get investors and they've got to get capital into these ventures that they're doing. But I think that they'd be better off not to overpromise. You'd have less people that are scared about tech, like worried about singularity and stuff. If you're more realistic about what you're doing and what the real capabilities of these things are. But you'd also, you're not letting people down all the time with this oversell, this overhype. And then, oh yeah, well, you know, real, you know, automatic driving cars, they're not really going to happen for 5 years, even though you're promising it was going to be like 6 months at one point. You know, I just think they should take a more realistic thing. You still will have capital venture people and investors that are that can see the promise and see the things forward, but you don't have to hype it and sell them a lie to make it happen, I don't think.
Now, if they can't get self-driving cars, they say Tesla's also going to be launching a flying car, Jay. And I don't believe flying cars are going to work at all.
Yeah. On the news break, we just heard about
private, even people with licenses to fly planes and everything. If you're in a small plane that doesn't have all the different, you know, technologies and you don't have a pilot and a co-pilot and everything else, those are subject to crash all the time. And we hear about crashes all the time. Just imagine if you put everybody up there.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
It's not real, people. I mean, I'm not telling you they can't make a flying car. I'm sure they can. I'm telling you to distribute it to the masses and deal with all the laws across the country and keep it safe and effective and productive and the dream people think of when they think of this.
If you think of
it's bogus.
If you think of the average person you interact with on the roadways, do you want them flying over your house? I probably don't, you know.
Well, and there's you know, power lines, there's poles, there's towers, there's trees, there's, I'm just telling you right now, you know, we can't even keep it safe on the road as it is.
They do think, though, if you can computerize all of this and you can get enough of it.
No, buddy, it can't even check me out of the store.
I know, but if you can get
don't
everything.
Tell me if you can computerize.
Talking with everything, you'll be able to solve the problem.
As soon as you guys can have Amazon check me out of the store and I can just walk out and it works without a bunch of, you know, you make me believe it's technology, but I find out a bunch of Indians, and I mean people from India, are doing all the work behind the scenes and literally watching my every move to make sure I don't steal something, that they get it added to my cart, and then I can't get a receipt for hours, so they have to scrap the program 5 years later or whatever it is. Don't tell me you're going to fly me around in my car and the computer will do it.
Don't be a pessimist. You gotta stay on the bright side of tech. Come on.
All right, I'm telling you right now, next episode, I'm just going to go to the moon then. I think I can drive on the moon just fine. I can fly around and drive it. I won't even have any traffic lights.
It'll
be awesome. All right, episode one in the can. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it's educational. NetworkProvidersInc.com, MPITechGuys.com. Check it out and make it a great tech day, will you? Hey, thanks.